Thank you, Diane, for weekly allowing God to use your gifts and talents, God-given gifts and talents, not to bring glory to yourself or the team, but to Him. Thank you so much for that. I was in Cincinnati a week ago today and was with an awesome church making a big-time difference in that area, and just very encouraged. And when I was done with doing some things with that church on a Sunday, I was talking with my wife as I was returning home, and she was so excited about what took place here last Sunday. And that kind of thing just fires me up. She said, "Brother David did an amazing job. He was articulate." So my wife has grown up in Christian school all the way through college. And so she said, I actually learned something. And I thought, that's phenomenal for you. But what about the previous weeks when your husband was preaching? So she learned, she was inspired, excited about the topic, and you brought it. And I talked to another family, and they said the same thing. And so that's music to my ears. One of my goals is to serve you in such a way to where God uses you in a greater way. And so thank you, Brother David, for that, and we look forward to more. And then Mike, as you're reading the scripture passage this morning, happens to be one of my favorite scripture, a couple of verses there. But actually, I believe there's something big to that. That verse, as our country is talking about, how do we bring God back to America again? How do we bring Jesus back to the Christian country again? And I believe that those two verses are the answer, or one of the answers. You remember what he read? As we talk about bringing Jesus back, it's really pretty simple. If we're to love others the way Christ has loved us, then all men, all of America, will know that you are one of the disciples of Jesus. Jesus returning to the forefront and to the conversation if we simply love others as he has loved us. Amen. So thank you for bringing that today. We have, we believe that God is doing something special here, that there's a strong foundation and he's preparing something for the future. I really believe that. Do you? And so we spent a long time talking about that God is getting started with all of that. As we look throughout the big moments of the Bible and apply them to our life and apply them to this church, what is God up to? God, what are you up to? As we look to build on the foundation, a solid foundation, as we build on that to accomplish your vision and your will and your mission here in the near future and beyond. And so today's sermon and message is going to be out of Joshua chapter 3 and 4. Because if we really believe that God is just getting started with this congregation, with this church, are we prepared for his move? We're praying for his move. We want him to move. But are we prepared for him to move? How sad would it be that we're spending all kinds of time praying in anticipation for God to move, and when he does, we're not ready? So Joshua chapter 3 and chapter 4, I believe, will help us get there, get ready. In our passage today, we have a wow moment. Again, the wow moment, you know, is the crossing of the Jordan River, a move of God. The Jordan River splits and allows God's people to cross on dry land. And we kind of say that just like it's just something normal. Obviously, if that was to happen today, it would be a wow moment. It would be on the news. It would be in the center of attention. Sometimes we forget how big of a wow moment the parting of the Jordan River is, along with the other miracles that we read about in Scripture. So we see the splitting of the Jordan River, and we want that type of move of God to happen now, don't we? We want that type of move of God to happen in our life. When we look back to the miracles that took place in Scripture, we say, God, we want that to happen now. We want that to happen here. But what I want to focus on is what takes place before the move of God. When we look at the miracle in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, what took place before the miracle? Before the move of God, what took place? And if we can learn that and apply it, then I believe that we'll be more ready for the move of God, for the miracle when it happens. Do you believe that God wants to bring the miracle to us here at University Baptist Church? Do you believe that He wants to bring a move of His own to this place? So, yes, we do. So we've got to be ready and make sure we're ready. And I believe that there's elements out of Joshua chapter 3 and 4 that we can apply to help us get there. You know, we have many outreaches ahead of us here, natural opportunities and natural platforms. When we talk about the Halloween or the Trunk or Treat initiative, that's a platform and an opportunity to see people on this campus hours before Sunday morning worship, possibly an opportunity to invite them to this place and share the gospel during that opportunity. And then you have Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and we have all of these natural opportunities where I believe that God would desire to move through those natural opportunities. So that I think it's very timely that we can apply the lesson learned today to be prepared for our trunk or treat and be prepared for Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year and what God has in store. We find in this passage that Joshua was prepared for God's move. As a leader, he was prepared. And like with Joshua, we need to be prepared. And so let's look at the elements involved in a move of God. We see it in this move of God, but we also see it in other moves of God. And so we can apply that again today. The context here is Joshua, it being a story of conquest and fulfillment for the people of God. After many years, of course, of slavery in Egypt and 40 years in the desert, the Israelites were finally allowed to enter the land promised to their fathers many years before. We have Abraham and Moses seeing that they never were able to possess the country to which they were sent, but they left the next generation a legacy of God's covenant that made them the eventual heirs of all of Canaan, what we call the promised land. And these covenants were fulfilled. Joshua was destined to turn that promise into fulfillment. As we look at the Abrahamic covenant, we look at the Mosaic covenant, and we see them fulfilled and turn into reality through the move of Joshua and the people following him. Where Deuteronomy ends, the book of Joshua begins. The tribes of Israel are still camped on the east side of the Jordan River. The narrative opens with God's command to move forward and pass through the Jordan River on dry land. In Joshua chapter 1, God commands Joshua to take over where Moses left off, to cross through the Jordan River and take possession of the promised land. And then we find in Joshua chapter 2 that Joshua sends two spies out to check out the land, get a feel for the context, do some analysis. They reported back to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." As they were obeying God, the fear of God was in those that were observing the move of God. The first element we find in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, God's calling. God's calling. God says to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites." Verse 3, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." In a move of God, you'll find a leader who is called by God. You know, God has a calling for you. Like Joshua, He has a mission for you. And I ask you, do you know what that is? From a general perspective, but also in a specific perspective. What is it, even when you look at in the near future, of what is it now? What is my mission now? What is it this year? What is it over the next 3 to 5 years? And what is my larger mission, my larger goal as you plot out your life? Remember the decision grid that we've shared in here before. I've shared it many, many places. That to help us make decisions, and this is what I just have gone through as well in my own life, we ask ourselves identity in Christ questions and then platform questions. In other words, God, why did you put me on this earth? Let's start with a big one. What is my calling? What is the calling you have for me? What is the mission that you have for me and my family? What do you want me? What do you want us as a marriage? What do you want us as a family? What do you want us to accomplish as part of who we are in Christ and living that out? A second question would be, God, let me analyze the gifts that you've given me, the talents that you've given me, and how can I use that then, Diane, as we were talking earlier, to build the church body with gifts and talents and also to advance his kingdom. And as you do some analysis, you ask yourself, okay, am I using the talents and gifts that God has given me to advance and to build his kingdom? And then thirdly, God, how have you specifically wired me? Let me analyze the personality or the many personalities that we may have. How have you wired me? And I kind of put all that together and I begin to move forward in who I am in Christ, very specifically, all the way down to how he has wired me to then accomplish his mission. So we move from identity questions, though, then to platform questions. That God, now I understand more of how you created me and what you've called me to do. Now, how do I live that out and where do I live that out? And that speaks to your occupation, your job, your place of employment, but also the church that you choose to attend. And so some platform questions would be, does the direction or do the direction of the organizations that you're involved with, and so maybe it may be where you're employed, your job, but also your church, the schools that you, if you have a choice in the matter, the schools that your school that your children attend, do the direction of those organizations that you're involved with sync up with the mission that you've identified that God wants you to accomplish? If you're involved in an organization where those two things are not synced up, you need to somewhere find alignment or find another organization that will sync up with the mission that God has given you. Another platform question would be, are these organizations helping you to accomplish that God-given mission? You think about resources and personnel and all of this that takes place. You know, you may say, God has called me or given me a mission to be involved in international missions. So is the church you're involved with, are they encouraging international mission trips? If not, you may want to start that initiative at that body or find a body that is. Or maybe God has said, you know what? Yes, international missions is important, but I'm really giving you a local goal. I'm giving you a goal to accomplish locally where you are. And if you're at a church that is not encouraging that or other organizations not encouraging that, maybe God is calling you to bring that initiative to that church, or maybe you need to align with another organization. Lastly, another platform question would be, are the team dynamics healthy in that organization? And so as you begin to accomplish your God-given mission through your talents and calling and gifts and personality, and as you're agreeing in an agreeance with the direction of an organization, are the team dynamics healthy? So if any of this is disaligned, if any of this is not quite right, there's going to be a distraction to where God is calling you and then us as a body. But if it is right, now we live in an imperfect world, and of course there's no perfect organization out there, there's no perfect family out there, there's no perfect person out there. But as you begin to answer those questions, is God confirming that you're in the right spot to accomplish the mission that he has given you? And I'm very encouraged as I look out here weekly that God is confirming where he has you and where he's taking us, and that there's alignment and there's a syncing that's taking place where God is bringing us together to sync up together to a common mission and goal. That's a supernatural thing. That is something that as we focus on Jesus, as we focus on God, it's kind of like the triangle effect that we talk about in our marriages. As we both pursue Jesus, He brings us together. Same thing in a church body. As we are all pursuing Jesus with all of our personalities and all of our gifts and all of our talents and all of our mess, that He brings us together to accomplish a God-sized goal. This is not something that we can do together, but it has to be manifested on God, and we simply pursue Him. And I think today's sermon will help us with that. So this, answering those six questions we just talked about, will help us as a body, as a family, as a marriage, our kids. It'll help us stay on a godly path when Satan is trying to do everything he can to get us off that path. Because if he distracts us or gets us off that path and we're not accomplishing his mission, then Satan is winning, or he thinks he is. It will help us in life as well maximize our resources and all that God has given us as stewards to bring glory to him daily, weekly, yearly, over the decades. So when we look back at the legacy, it points to him. It points to the things of him. In the case of Joshua and many others, God's calling is a part of the preparation of spiritual movement, that before God moves, we learn here that God calls. Before he moves, he calls. That was our first element. Number two, another element of the preparation of spiritual movement is, secondly, personal preparation. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5 says this, that Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua had a word from God. Joshua had been with God. Joshua was called by God before the move of God so that he could articulate and inspire and lead through the good and bad times to accomplish the move of God. And so he says, tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. That God's move is around the corner. It may look like there's a river here and that we're not going to go through it or be able to go through it. But God is going to do something miraculous so that we can accomplish the mission that he has given us. Well, Joshua had to be so confident in that and that God would come through in that miracle that he could lead the other, similar to Moses. And so the wow moment was coming. The unleashing of God's Spirit was about to occur. The miracle was on the horizon. Joshua had to sense that to where it was so real that the others would sense that he is for real. Joshua tells the people to get ready by consecrating themselves. He says, dedicate yourselves. Purify yourselves. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Purity is big. We've got to get the pollutants out. So consecrate, dedicate, commit yourselves. Be all in. Jump all in with both feet. Purify yourselves in this process. Recommit yourselves, people, to the move of God and to the mission of God. You can picture him saying something like, amazing is about to happen. And when it does, we need to be ready. And so this is the same for us. That we believe that God is up to something. If we did not believe that, we shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be here because this is on the calendar. We should be here with anticipation that God is up to something. He's working, he's conforming, he's shaping, he's preparing. We need to be ready for God's move because he desires to move. He wants to move, and we believe he is moving, but he's going to continue to do that. And he's going to take us on a journey that only he could take us on. Spiritual movement is about to take place. And so how do we stay spiritually focused? Well, personal preparation needs to take place before the move of God. The call of God, personal preparation, and then thirdly, validation of God's leader. Validation of God's leader, that you are going to follow someone that is following God. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel." Now this is big. Let me repeat that. Because America has this backwards. And sometimes we as churches and Christians, we fall into a trap that America is in. The Lord said to Joshua, think about leadership. "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." God validated his leader. The leader did not have to validate himself. You see that? We get it backwards. We get it backwards. And when we get it backwards, we move the move of God into our own hands as a leader, and that's very dangerous. Joshua's remarkable life was filled with excitement, variety, success, and honor. As we look at Joshua's life, kind of a little bit of his resume, he had every opportunity to validate himself, to lift himself up before the people. You see, if his confidence was not in God, then he would have to validate himself. But because his confidence was in God, he knew that God would then validate himself to the people. Listen to Joshua's resume. He was known for his deep trust in God as a man in who is the Spirit. We find that in Numbers 27, verse 18. As a youth, as a student, he lived through the bitter realities of slavery in Egypt, but he also witnessed the supernatural plagues and the miracle of Israel's escape from the army of the Egyptians when the waters of the sea opened before them, the Red Sea. In the Sinai Peninsula, it was Joshua who led the troops of Israel to victory over the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. He alone was allowed to accompany Moses up the holy mountain where the tablets of the law were received in Exodus chapter 24. And it was he who stood watch at the temporary tent of meeting Moses set up before the tabernacle was erected. And that's in Exodus chapter 33. Joshua was elected to represent his own tribe of Ephraim when the 12 spies were sent into Canaan to look over the land. Only Joshua and Caleb, representing the tribe of Judah, were ready to follow God's will and take immediate possession of the land, Numbers chapter 14. The rest of the Israelites of that generation were condemned to die in the desert, but not him. Even Moses died short of the goal and was told to turn everything over to Joshua. God promised to guide and strengthen Joshua just as he had with Moses, Deuteronomy 31. Joshua was God's chosen servant, Joshua chapter 24 and Deuteronomy chapter 34. He was God's chosen servant to bring Moses' work to completion and establish Israel in the promised land. Talk about a goal. Talk about a mission. Talk about a calling. To that special divine appointment, Joshua was faithful. As the leader of God's army, as the administrator of God's division of the land, and as God's spokesman for promoting Israel's covenant faithfulness. So in all this, he was also a striking Old Testament type of Christ. And we find that, those dots connected in Hebrews chapter 4. And so Joshua could have easily have received the glory for all that he had accomplished. He could have easily been tempted to fall into the trap that America is in, that he needed to validate himself in order to mobilize these people to go through the Jordan River and to follow his lead to the promised land. But his confidence was in God. And that's true leadership. He knew that he didn't need to do that. He knew that he didn't have to do that. So he didn't fall into that temptation. And that God's validation meant a lot more than his own validation. He understood that as he was faithful to God, God will take him places that he never could himself. And so you think about that in our life. Whether we're trying to climb the corporate ladder or whether we're trying to do something else on our own. It could be a big situation at work, or it could be a small situation at home. And sometimes a small situation at home is larger than the big situation at work. All of that involves calling. All of that involves a leader to move people towards the things of God. All of that requires that leader to have his or her confidence in God alone, not in themselves. So that we don't fall into the temptation as we lead our families, as we lead our kids, as we lead a corporation to say, hey, let me talk about myself and what I bring to the table. You need to follow me because let me tell you about my resume. No, don't fall into that temptation. You follow God and allow him to validate the people that are going to be following you. America has it backwards. And it's no wonder that we don't see the move of God right now in a revivalistic way. He's got to be on the forefront and we've got to be following him as leaders in his kingdom. Inspiring others to follow the things of God. Let's never lose sight that our confidence is not in ourselves, no matter how good we think we are. All the education, all the experience, all the tenure, God validates, not man.